Okay, everyone, I've got a lot to get through in this episode, and I do not want this thing to take an hour. Let me just say that this week's book was one I was eagerly anticipating for a long time, and then I was disappointed in it, and then I wasn't disappointed in it. Who cares? Let's get on with the show. Welcome back to Deep in Bear Country. Stain Bearcast. I am your host, Phil Gonzalez, and I'm all business this week because I got a lot to talk about with this week's book. It's a very simple book. It's a very strange book. It's one that I thought was going to be a lot weirder. I shouldn't have thought that because, of course, it's not going to be weird. It's a book that just came out, I think, this week. It is The Berenstain Bears, Here Come the Bears. And this book blew me away, took my mind and wrung it out like a towel, like a wrung out towel, a paper towel. I don't know. I'm looking at myself now in the camera and I realize that I've got like lint all over my shirt. In any case, The Berenstain Bears, Here Come the Bears. The cover for this book made everyone in the collector's group, made everyone in the Berenstain Bears, I don't know, interested. Universe, I don't know what you even call those people, sit up and take notice, because the cover shows the bear family standing on a sunny dirt road. But in the middle of the sunny dirt road is a group of bears, like actual bears, brown bears, white bears, gray bears, other bears. But these are not anthropomorphized. Well, they are anthropomorphized to a degree, but they are not as anthropomorphized as our Berenstain Bears, as our bear family, as our favorite characters. They are instead just bears. And so the notion that I got into my head was this was going to be the book that finally answered all the questions about what the bear family was, what the bears in Bear Country are, where they come from, what their lineage is, how they evolved, what their relationship is to other bears, how this all pieces together. It was finally going to explode all of my theories and make them all coalesce once again in a general theory that unites all the universes, all the continuities, and finally answers the ultimate question of what exactly are the Berenstain Bears. And of course, it didn't do any of that, because this is a beginning reading level one book for small babies, for children. It's about bear. It's just about bears. It's just Mike saying, you know what I'd like to draw? Non-Berenstain bears. I want to just draw some bears. I want to teach kids a little bit about the different kinds of bears. What better way to do that than just use this book I've been writing, the series I've been writing for years that my parents started over 60 years ago about a family of bears. Let's just have them acknowledge bears. Let's just have them say there are bears in this world and the bears are there. Here come the bears. So I was initially disappointed. Oh no, I said, it's just a book about bears. But then I started really getting into it. What I did was I actually rewatched the It's Del Toro Time episode that I did with my daughter Willow. Check it out on YouTube. And the It's Del Toro Time episode on The Nightmare Before Christmas. And we picked that movie apart so much in such a joyous way that I was like, I need to approach this book that way. Because it doesn't answer the questions. And if it had answered the questions, I'm glad it didn't answer the questions. Because if it had answered the questions, I would not be here today. I would just be like, all right, well, it just answered all my questions and then just quit the show. So let's dive into it, because there's so much going on in this book. There's so much going on in this book. It's The Berenstain Bears. Here come the bears. Here they come. So this is an I can read book. It's a beginning it's a beginning reading book. So it's not set in the same exact continuity of our regular books. So for instance, the bear family does not go to the Bearsonian Museum in this book. They go to the Great Bear Museum, which looks exactly like the Bearsonian. Don't get me wrong, it is essentially the Bearsonian in all of its glory. Multiple trees built into it. We've got the observatory. We've got a castle turret, which is where the wax figures are, I think. We've got glass domes, external staircases, telescopes everywhere, a hook for some reason, and two thinking bear statues out front. This is the Bearsonian, but because Bearsonian is not a word approved for beginning readers, it's the Great Bear Museum. And because his name also doesn't fit into the, I guess, like strictures of the beginning reading books, we do not have actual factual. We have his otherworldly doppelganger, Dr. Bear. It's Dr. Bear. That's right. We are back in a book with Dr. Bear running the Great Bear Museum. So just keep that in mind, that this is not bear continuity proper. This is side continuity. This is what if the Berenstain Bears existed in a world with more simplified language. That's essentially what we're working with, where things were a little bit more educational all the time. That's where we are. So, and keep in mind also, this book just came out. Also, this book, I bought it, I pre-ordered it a long time ago on Amazon for the Kindle. So I forgot about it, and then it showed up. It was like, your book is here. And I was like, I wasn't going to order anything from Amazon. So I went to download it. Won't download. Also, can't return it. I pre-ordered it too long ago. Can't return it. Wouldn't download. Couldn't get it to download anywhere. Had to buy it again from Kobo. So that's how it works. In any case, the Berenstain Bears, the Bear family goes to the Great Bear Museum to visit their friend Dr. Bear. And Sister sees a bunch of models of bears. Like, just other bears. Like, not intelligent bears, but just bears. And she's like, what the heck's up with this? What are all these? And Dr. Bear's like, oh, these are models of bears. Take a look at these models of bears. These are other kinds of bears from around the world. And Sister Bear's like, what kind of bears are we, Dr. Bear? Can you answer that question for us? What kind of bears are we? And Dr. Bear gives an incredible answer. It seems at first glance like an evasive answer that didn't answer anything, but it's the foundation of my theories going into this story. He says, good question. We are bear country bears. We walk on two legs. We wear clothes. We can talk. And then Honey Bear says, I can talk, which is true. And then Dr. Bear says, there are many other types of bears around the world. So let's keep in mind, Dr. Bear has said, we are bear country bears because we can talk, we wear clothes, and we stand on our two hind legs. We are bear country bears. You got to put a pin in that because this is the central part of our whole argument. Also, Honey Bear is finally just saying, look, I can speak. I'm an actual character now. Please acknowledge the fact that I'm an actual character. Speaking of actual, non-actual factuals, like, all right, buckaroos, let's get in the old anywhere, anyplace machine, which is essentially, if we remember from our past books, Dr. Bear's version of the TARDIS. It can travel to anywhere at any time. I don't know if it's bigger on the inside, but it's basically... This is their version of Doctor Who. This is how they travel. They learn about things. It's sort of if Doctor Who and Miss Frizzle hooked up and had a bear baby, it would be Doctor Bear because this is what they do. Like, it's like Doctor Who, except instead of the Doctor taking you on adventures, actual factual, non-actual factual, Bobo actual factual is like, I'm just going to teach you some things. I could just open up a book about bears and show it to you. Like, that'd be just as easy. But let's go to these locations. So they jump in the anywhere, anyplace machine, and it spins around, bim, bam, boom. They are somewhere in bear country, or as I like to say, North America. Not the United States of America. They're in North America, and what are they looking at? Why, they are looking at a pod of what actual, or not actual factual, what Dr. Bear defines as grizzly bears. That's right. Dr. Bear says these are grizzly bears. They are a grizzly means a mixture of light and dark fur. They are also called brown bears. Now, a few things. There's a great drawing of a grizzly bear looking absolutely astounded to see us. A few things. Dr. Bear doesn't just say these are grizzly bears. He says, meet your close cousin, the grizzly bear. Then he also says they're also called brown bears, which I have to put my foot down. It's not exactly true. Grizzly bears are a type of brown bear. They are a type of brown bear, but there are multiple types of brown bears, of which the grizzly is only one. The grizzly is a very specific type of brown bear found in North America, in mountainous areas of North America. Also, Dr. Bear says, meet your close cousin, the grizzly bear, which on first glance will lead us to think that the bears, the bear family, the Berenstain Bear Bears, the bear country bears, are most closely related to grizzlies. However, we're putting a pin in that as well. Don't let that cloud the way you think about the future of this book, the way that what this book is presenting to you. I want you to know that. Just close cousins, Let's leave it at that for now. Then they go to Greenland, and they see polar bears. We all love polar bears. Polar bears live in the ice and snow. They're in the Arctic. Let's put on our winter gear. They live in the ice and snow. They're all white. Sister's like, well, they're all white except for their noses. And Dr. Bear says that lets them blend in when they hunt seals on the ice, as well as anything they want to kill. Remember, your polar bears, probably the most dangerous bears on the planet. Polar bears, if you encounter a polar bear and you're out in the snow, you're done. Like, you're done. You're finished. A grizzly, you might be able to get away from or survive. But a polar bear, no, it's just going to rip you to shreds. It's just going to destroy you. It's going to leave you nothing. You're going to remain... You're going to be erased from the planet, because that's what polar bears do. They like to kill, they like to eat, and they're very territorial. They're violence monsters. But also loving parents, I guess they're loving parents. But polar bears, we've heard polar bears mentioned in the past. They've made a reference to, I think, polar bear cousins or something. In another part of the world. I think it was in one of the, like, Let's Go Around the World books. One of those books, they mentioned polar bears. And I was like, oh, we've never seen them, however. So, moving on, the bears go somewhere new. The high mountains, where they see the Asian black bear. We are in the, we are up in the mountains. It just says, there's a little map, and it just says, Asia, you are here. The Asian black bear. It has a patch of white fur on its chest. That's what we learn about the black bear. And then they head into the forests of India. And there's a little map, shows where you are here. And we see what is called the shaggy sloth bear, or just the sloth bear. So named, it says, with sharp claws, it rips open ant nests. Then with a long tongue, it laps up the bugs. And Honey says, yuck, but... you know, you're one to judge, honey. Now, interesting things about the sloth bear. The sloth bear was named because originally zoologists thought it was a type of sloth, not a type of bear, because of the claws and the way its face was shaped. They were like, I think this is a sloth. Not a sloth, just a sloth bear. And also, many people will read the Jungle Book, learn about the Jungle Book, and read that Baloo is actually supposed to be a sloth bear. Now, this is it's never said what kind of bear Baloo is in the original Jungle Book. However, the only type of bear in the area of India where the Jungle Book is set is the sloth bear. But the description of the bear in the Jungle Book fits more with the Asian black bear. Baloo has the dietary habits and behaviors of the Asian black bear, more resembles the Asian black bear. So I'm going to go and say that maybe it was just Rudyard Kipling getting it wrong. Like, maybe Rudyard Kipling just didn't know what lived where, which ones. He was just some British guy. Like, he did what he thought was right. But he didn't. He was just an imperialist. Probably didn't really bother to do much research on that. He knew there were some dark bears there. And so he just wrote it that way. And Baloo, you know, you didn't want Baloo just... I mean, he does eat ants in the cartoon. But, you know, whatever. Baloo, he's whatever you want him to be. What do you want him to be? That's what Baloo is for you. Then we meet some panda bears. Now, this is interesting because we've met panda bears. The rare giant panda of China is a black and white bear. Most bears eat a lot of things, but pandas eat only the bamboo plant. And Sister's like, look at that baby panda. He is so cute. And Honey's like, aw. And I'm like, because we've met pandas, right? We've met the panda family. We've met Peter Panda and his sisters and his mother and father. They live across the street from the bear family, at least in another continuity. But if that's true in this continuity, then it is a little infantilizing for Sister to be like, aw, the little baby's so cute. I know, babies are cute, but also, like, you know people who are pandas. Like, you know, there's something weird about this. Now that we know that they know panda bears and have been, like, a little racist towards them, it's interesting that now they're looking at, like, non-intelligent panda bear? I don't know. There's something strange about it. We're going to be discussing the fact that the parallels with human life aren't exact here. Like, they don't quite... It doesn't fit the way this is represented. In any case. We're going to keep moving on because I got a lot to talk about, as I keep saying. So then we move on to the jungles of Southern Asia, where we meet our friend, the sun bear, so called because it has a golden mark on its chest that looks, I guess, like the sun. Is that true? Yes, that is true. The sun bear lives in Southern Asia. And then we move on down South American way, where we meet a bear who has a name that's hard to say. Which is, I don't know, I guess the fact that this bear's name is hard for some people to say, I guess. I mean, all bears' names are hard to say if you have trouble saying words. But that bear is the spectacled bear. And it's called that because it looks like it's wearing glasses with a ring of light fur that circles its eyes. Little raccoony, but like sort of, yeah, little raccoony called the spectacled bear. It actually spells out spectacled at the end of this little chunk of this little spread. And we see a beautifully drawn spectacled bear staring right at the reader. Papa Bear is doing that thing where he puts his... You make like two okay signs with your thumb and forefinger, and then you turn your hands upside down in front of your eyes to make glasses with your finger. I don't know. It's really weird. I don't know what you call that, but Papa's doing it. So good on you, Mike, for drawing. I wouldn't have been able to figure out how to draw that. I knew exactly what he was doing. The spectacled bear. And then finally we head, it says time to head home, and we go back to North America, which remember in the like I can read books, they live not in bear country. Well, they live in North America. I don't know. It's hard. They do live in North America. I think that in the I can read books, they call it the United States of America. But in the actual main continuity, it's just called bear country. And he says we're bear country bear. I don't know. We're bear country bears. So we get back to North America. We're on the eastern end of North America now, where we meet black bears. He says, here, black bears are our neighbors. Their fur can be reddish brown or lighter in color. And Papa's like, they love honey. And just like me. So what we have here, what we have here is a quick rundown of a bunch of bears that live around the world. It's dizzying. There's so many bears that Mama can't keep her head screwed on just right. But everyone's happy to have learned all about bears. And then they go back to the museum. And that's the end of the book. They learn about a bunch of bears. So we got a bunch of questions here. We've got a bunch of things to discuss. And you may be saying to yourself, wow, that was really fast. Also, it sounds like you just zip through the book, and I answer, yeah, there's no plot here. They just travel around the world and meet a bunch of different bears. First thing I did is I double-checked the scientific facts as laid out in this book. The only possible confusion this book could cause is the fact that grizzly bears and brown bears, while grizzly bears are a type of brown bear, not all brown bears are grizzly bears. So that's the one thing the book, I think, makes a little confusing. Otherwise, everything in this book is more or less dead on. It's a great introduction to different types of bears. If your kid is like, let's talk about bears, you can bring out Here Come the Bears, and it's a good starting point. You can jump off from here. You know, which bear do you like best? Which one do you want to talk about more? Let's go get some books from the library and talk more about this bear. I think it's a pretty cool book. I think Mike did a great job. I think he illustrates the bears really well. I think he obviously had fun drawing these different types of bears, being able to draw different head shapes, body shapes, really focus on the anatomy of bears. Plus, he gets to draw a bunch of different locales. We get Asia, we get India, we get South America, we get two different zones in North America. We get the Arctic. We get to go all over the place. It's a fun book about bears. Much like if your kid's into trucks, if your kid's into bears, you could do worse than picking this up. But that's not why we're here. No siree, Bob. That is not why we're here. We are here because this book, it's a great introduction to bears. But it also allows me to talk about things that we've been talking about in the show for the past, what's today, March 27th when I'm recording this, for the past almost 10 years, which is the identity, the cultural identity, the cultural differences, how the bears are related, the evolutionary divergence. Who are the bears? Who are the grizzlies? What about the Great Bear War? How did this all come together? How does the bear world mirror our world? Does it mirror our world? We know it's not a good one-to-one in like history. We know it's not an exact one-to-one in science or mythology. How does it fit from an evolutionary biology standpoint? How, when and where did the bears split off? from their ancestors? Who are primitive bears? Do these bears have sentience? How do bears relate to other bears? How do they talk about them? We don't know. So we have the grizzly, polar. Oh, yeah. And we began with the grizzly bear in North America. We ended with the American black bear in North America. And so we sort of went full circle. And if time is a flat circle, so apparently is evolutionary biology. Because I want to use this time to prove that there's a point to going from North America around the Arctic to Eastern Asia to India to China to Southeast Asia to South America and back to North America. Because there is a loop here. There is a closed circle when it comes to the evolution, when it comes to the history of the bears in bear country, when it comes to who the ancestors of the Berenstain Bears are, when it comes to the grizzly clan and the bear clan, when it comes to the Great Bear War. Let's take a look at it. So they go in the Anywhere, Anyplace machine. They get a brief lesson on each bear, which we know is scientifically accurate. So what's impressive about this book? What I like about this book, what I got the old heart a-pumping about this book, isn't just the science, isn't just that it's biologically, mostly biologically accurate with the behaviors, with the habitats, with the physical traits of the bears, isn't just that it's a cool book to start off discussing bears with your kids. It's a that it references that right up front, the not actual factual says that the grizzly bears are our close cousins. Does that mean what it seems like he's saying? Does that mean that grizzly bears, brown bears, grizzled bears are the closest type of bear to what we see as the Berenstain Bears? Is that what Mike is saying? Is that what Dr. Bear is saying? So we know that the bear family are identified as bear country bears. That's what Not Actual Factual says. He says, we are bear country bears. We walk upright, we wear clothes, we speak fluently. We are Homo ursus. We are upright, intelligent bears. We live in tree houses or ground houses or caves. We enjoy honey. We go to school. We hold jobs. But what kind of bear is that bear? What did they descend? What is their closest living bear relative? The problem is, although you could look at them and say, these are your basic brown bears, probably grizzly, because we know that there's a grizzly clan. Physically, they don't resemble brown bears or grizzly bears so much as, and stay with me here, American black bears. Now, you may say these aren't black bears. Their fur is brown. But black bears can come in many different colors, one of which is brown, just like a brown bear. Black bears are available. Black bears are a type of bear, but that does not refer solely to the color of their fur. Black bears have rounder faces than grizzly bears, just like the bear family. And grizzly bears especially are known for their humps. They are humped bears. They have a large shoulder humps that sort of have them, that sort of have this stooped over look. Whereas black bears do not. They also behave more like black bears with their love of honey, with sort of getting into mischief, with being slightly smaller, like smaller than grizzly bears. But, you know, looking at all the books I've ever read, the over 400 Berenstain Bears books I've read, it could be that they have cultural or ancestral links to grizzlies and black bears. So, we don't know what the bear family species is. They don't say it. They might be modeled on black bears, at least their appearance and lifestyle choices. But we know that they're tied to the grizzly clan. We know that the bear clan and the grizzly clan are two families, like two distinct lines of bear. So the notion that your identity as a bear in bear country is biological might be an erroneous assumption. Your identity as a bear in bear country might be more like a cultural identity, affiliation, a cultural affiliation, rather than a biological association. Does that make sense? So we have the grizzly clan, we have the bear clan. We've read several different books about them. Save That Back Scratcher, New Girl in Town. Those are two books where we really get into the Great Bear War. The Grizzly Clan and the Bear Clan hate each other. They've had bloody battles. But we also know that the Grizzly Clan is very prestigious. Half the population, more or less, is Grizzly. We know that Horace J. Honeypot is a Grizzly. Squire Grizzly is a Grizzly. Too Tall's family, they're all Grizzlies. There's Grizzlies all over the place. Grizzly might represent more like the business owner class, the political class, whereas the Bear family line might represent more the blue collar class, the small business class. I don't know. This is just me snowballing, spitballing, cannonballing, not snowballing. That's a whole other thing. Kids, don't ask your parents. So there might be an aristocratic symbolism to the Grizzly Clan. We don't know. But looking at this, we can see that grizzly versus bear might represent family heritage, not your species, which suggests that bear country, the culture of being a bear culture, might value ancestry and social history as opposed to biological history. I feel like I'm confusing you here. I may not be. I don't know. But it's like the idea of human cultural heritage. So where you come from matters as opposed to what your blood says, because it's the whole like deep down we're all humans thing. So where are you from? What I'm getting at here is that bear world culture, if there is a bear world culture, one great bear world culture might value ancestry and social history more than biological definitions, which is okay. So that's kind of how people work. So Homo sapiens, all of us, the people listen, I assume all of us listening to this, Homo sapiens, we don't live alongside our Neanderthal ancestors anymore, or like co-ancestors. How does that work? Like the branch, there was the Neanderthals and Denisovans, Cro-Magnons. Like we were all kind of piddling around at the same time, and then they disappeared. So they're related to our ancestors. They weren't our neighbors, though. The rise of modern humanity meant that the extinction of other human-like species was inevitable because of the way humans are. And that's sad, but it's kind of our what defines us biologically is we're a bit of a destructive species. So bear country has done it different, or bear world, I guess should say, has done it different. The bears in bear world, they live side by side with other kinds of bears, with panda bears, polar bears, wild brown bears, sloth bears. They travel to go to them, to look at them, to see them. They have a sort of an awe, sort of a respect for them. They call them their cousins. They coexist with them, which means we're looking at a different kind of like evolutionary what if scenario. So what if one species of bear did evolve sentience, did evolve, as they say, like wearing pants, and they didn't replace the others? What if it didn't wipe them out or outcompete them, but just like they just started developing their society? They would build their tree houses and time machines and museums and form scouting organizations and detective organizations, and I don't know, have several TV series based on them, but and get attacked by the weasels. But and sometimes there'd be like a riverboat con artist who'd come through. I don't know. Suppose all this stuff happens. But instead of it being like wiping out their evolution or co-evolutionary compatriots, they just sort of like sat next to them. And there's just all these weird evolutionary, I don't even want to say dead ends. There's just more. It'd be like if Cro-Magnon and Neanderthal and all the other ones just were still kind of around, but doing their own thing. And maybe they just stopped heading in the direction we headed. And we're like, you know what? We're cool. We're thriving in the woods. We're thriving without having pants on. We're thriving just being with our families. And because we don't really know much about the wild bears in Bear World beyond what we were told in this book. Maybe there are, I don't know, maybe there are greater societies within those. You know, we don't know how they behave. We don't know the structure of their communities. We just saw them and saw the one page that Dr. Bear told us about in this particular book. So who knows? What's not said, you can fill it in with anything. But that does leave a few other things to talk about. So we have bear culture, we have bear identity, we have bear biology, but we have to talk about bear clans because they visit China and they go to see the giant pandas and sister's like, oh, look at that baby panda. He's so cute. Which is fine because baby pandas are cute, but this isn't the first time we've seen the pandas. So we know that the panda family showed up in the Berenstain Bears' new neighbors. The panda family moves in across the street. They're fully sentient. They wear clothes. They speak. They hold jobs. They are, by definition, by what Dr. Bear says in the beginning of this book, they are bear country bears, regardless. So what is going on with that? What does that mean then? Because they're also pandas, and he says bear country bears, close relation to the grizzlies. Why are some pandas intelligent, fully clothed neighbors, and others are just pandas in China? Because what if the grizzly clan and the bear clan, what if there's a panda clan, like a culture, as a cultural identity that some pandas claim and some don't? What if there are other types of pandas, like sentient pandas in bear world, that do not claim themselves panda clan? What if they're like, We are the, I don't know. Are there any other words for pandas? I don't know. Are there any other words for pandas? I can only think of like nasty terms for raccoons. What if we're the roly-poly raccoon clan? Like that's what the other pandas call those. I know, because some offshoots of the brown bears call themselves the bear clan. Like that's their name. What if panda is just a familial name for a branch of sentient, pandas? Maybe what if that, like, so it's more cultural than biological? Or we could be looking at a case of multiple evolutionary branches. So one branch of pandas remained sentient, one branch of pandas stayed whatever their version of wild bear is. It still makes it weird that sister views the baby panda as a cute thing to look at, because it would be like you can't even do it with humans, because there would have to exist Neanderthals and Cro-Magnon man like around in our neighborhood, like around our areas, so that you could look at one and then they would have to move in next door. I don't know. So we don't know. Is this considered speciesism in bear world? What do they even call species? I don't know. Is it just ignorance? I don't know. It's weird to say, but having the panda family there complicates the concept that bear country bear is just what the bear country bears, like that there's one species of bear. But then again, different races, quote unquote, of humans have distinct features and skin tone that vary within the race. And that, even though that's an artificial construct based on just genetics and your geographical location where your family developed, maybe that's part of it with maybe. Okay, so there's also polar bears, which when we go to the Arctic, we see the polar bears, and Dr. Bear is like, they're adapted to the snow, they kill seals, that's cool. But we've also mentioned the polar bears in previous books. We mentioned them, I think, in Berenstain Bears Go Around the World. I think they're referred to as cousins in that. If not, we know that they're related to them. But if grizzlies are cousins and polar bears are cousins, where are we? Like, where are we left? Is it just one huge global family of bears, like people? Like, is it like people, or are these different? Was there at some point a global bear diaspora where the bears started in one location? That doesn't make any sense unless they split off from their evolution. Is this convergent evolution, or what is it called? We're like parallel evolution, where there are brown bears and grizzly bears and polar bears and panda bears, and then there are sentient bear-like creatures descended from a common ancestor who simply evolved to fit into those evolutionary niches. Are the Berenstain Bears and the panda family and the presumed polar bear family, do they simply resemble those other branches of non-sentient bears because their evolution diverged in the same way that the other previous common ancestor diverged? Is it just a coincidence, is what I'm saying? Is the panda clan called the panda clan because their familial genetics kind of resemble pandas, but they're not actually panda bears? They are Bear Country bears who just look different because people look different, because there's all types of body sizes and shapes. And the bears that we see in the Berenstain Bears books are simply descendants of the Bear Clan and the Grizzly Clan, which are two clans who happen to share a more common ancestor that they diverged from. That more common, like, not even like ancestor, I would just say like relative. Like probably just a few hundred years back, there was this like schism and the family split off. Yeah, it's more War of the Roses than anything else. I don't know. Is that what's happening here? So are we looking at branches of families as opposed to branches of species? That could be. It could be. So does this mirror human evolution? is kind of the question. Because we have relatives in other parts of the world. We have common ancestors with everyone, even though we look, speak different languages, follow different customs. But genetically, we are almost completely identical to each other. So if Bear Country, I won't say that Bear Country is like the center of bear civilization, because we kind of know it's not, simply because they have a Bible. Like, simply because we know that, like, that part of civilization, are bears Mormons? I don't know. Like, it's just, we know that bear world does not follow the same history as the human world. Like, that's just it. It was, They're cousins. Not unlike the Care Bear cousins, who are all different animals, but may very well be the same thing, because the Care Bears aren't really bears. They're just, they're monsters who look like bears. The Care Bears aren't really bears. They're goblins who live up in heaven and come down to tell us that it's okay to be sad sometimes. That's my Care Bear rant. So in any case, where was I? I wrote stuff down. Oh yeah. So that's not even where this ends. Right? Because we have the grizzlies and the bears, right? We have the pandas and the polars. But there is a huge thumb stuck up in my room here. And that is the biggest one of all. Big Paw. Skadoom. Let's talk about Big Paw. So Big Paw is huge. He's a massive, unclothed bear. He doesn't wear pants, doesn't hold a job, can kinda talk. He lives in isolation on top of Mount Grizzly. He doesn't do anything society-wise. He's isolated. And he's like 15 feet tall. Sometimes he's like 8 feet tall. Sometimes he's 10 feet tall. His size changes depending on the book. He's a little scary, but he's actually a pretty decent guy. And he used to be a cryptid, and now he's not. He showed himself during one long Thanksgiving and almost destroyed the city, but that's just because he was lonely. But we know that he does not belong to the Grizzly Clan. He does not belong to the Bear Clan. He seems to have no family. He seems to have no home. He seems to have no history. He is Big Paw. He's just Big Paw. Formerly, maybe, in the Bear Country Almanac, which I have... Oh, I can't find it right now. In the Bear Almanac, we see Great Natural Bear, who is essentially Big Paw with a hat. So that could be the same guy, could be a relative of his. We don't know. We'll never hear about him again. Big Paw is a relict species, theoretically. Theoretically, Big Paw could be the answer to all this. The relict species that stands as the linchpin for all this. Could be an ancestor of the modern Bear Country Bear. Could be a holdover from a different time. Could be a failed evolutionary cousin, like Neanderthals. He could be just an intelligent but not civilized Bear Country Bear. He could just be a guy who lives in the mountains, except the height thing. And his facial features are slightly different. He doesn't seem to be the exact same kind of bear. Let's go back to the grizzly thing. Maybe he's an actual grizzly. Maybe he, because he looks different, he behaves different, he's larger than the other bears. Maybe we are looking at Big Paw as being the only actual descendant of grizzly bears who has sentience in bear world. I don't know. He's not even their cousin. He's like their weird uncle who lives outside of town. They welcome him, right? He's welcome in their world. Bear Country welcomes him. He gets tricked sometimes. Can he be tricked? Yes, he can. He can be tricked by Raffish Ralph Ripoff and the weasels sometimes. But even though Bear Country is this weird place with divergent evolutions that don't quite add up to human evolution, it's a reflection of our real world. So if Big Paw represents people who are on the fringes of society, who, because they don't conform to our... So if the... Okay. The pandas seem to represent China Or immigrants, like immigrant families who come to Bear Country, immigrant families who come, anyone from the outside who comes into your neighborhood, but it's relatively on equal footing, right? Like they are homeowners and job owners and or job holders, and they have 2.5 children, and they have cookouts, and they hang out with you, and they're neighbors. They're just your neighbors. The polar bears are sort of distant cousins. Like, we don't know them. We know that they're related to us. We hear about them. We may read about them. Maybe we get a letter from them once in a while. Don't really know them. These are our neighbors and our global neighbors. However, Big Paw seems to represent the outsider. And this is anyone who society views as kind of from a skewed perspective, kind of like, we don't understand this person. They are on the outside. They are on the outskirts. They are liminal beings. They are, I believe in anthropology, there's like the concept of like the liminal creature, the liminal being, something like that, where it's like an entity, a person, a figure, a character, a creation who exists half in and half out of reality. Like King Arthur, once upon a time, King Arthur was like, was he a real guy or was he just a bunch of stories? We don't know. He's a liminal character historically. He exists on the boundary between reality and fantasy. And Big Paul kind of was that too. He was a cryptid and then he was real, but for that middle time he was liminal. But he literally lives in a liminal space. He lives at the top of Mount Grizzly. He has no place in Bear Town. He has no place in Big Bear City. He exists in the space between societies, between neighborhoods. He's not really their neighbor insofar as he is not on equal footing with the rest of them. He's larger. He's more powerful. He looks different. He behaves differently. We don't understand his culture at all. He can't explain it to us. And yet he's also kept in their minds on a lower level of the caste system, basically, like the Berenstain Bears caste system. He's simultaneously higher because he's more powerful and more mysterious, but lower because he's economically disadvantaged. He doesn't have the same education they do. He doesn't have the same opportunities they do. He could be anyone in society who is along those same lines. Someone who is on the fringes of society, whether by choice, whether by circumstance, whether by being forced there, that's where Big Paw is. He represents that. So if the pandas represent the ability to welcome immigrants into our neighborhood as our neighbors, and if the polar bears represent people who we consider neighbors even though they do not exist with us, Big Paw represents the struggle we have accepting people who don't fit into our idea of what people are in society. And that is kind of where we're coming from with the Berenstain Bears. Here come the bears. Like, we're confronted with groups of individuals who resemble us, who we see ourselves in, but who aren't us. And where do they fit in our timeline? Where do they fit in the timeline of the bear world, the Berenstain Bears? Does he stand as a reminder of our history? Is he a historic memory? Is he our memory keeper? Is he there because we need to remember that at one point in history, the distant ancestor of the black bears and a distant ancestor of the brown bears came together and started a new family? Maybe there's a whole new line of bears that along the evolutionary and societal lines became the Bear Country Bears. They developed their sentience. They started forming communities. They started going to work. They created Bear Town, Bear Country. And the wild bears out there, they just kept doing their thing. They just kept eating berries, getting honey, licking ants out of the ground. They just kept being bears. And somewhere in there, clans formed, bear clan, grizzly clan, the panda clan, the polar clan, all the clans, and they decided that they were going to follow these cultural designations like we do rather than evolutionary designations since we're all human. So a bear's identity in Bear Country isn't what kind of a bear you are. And that's what this book seems to be saying. It's who you belong to, family-wise, name-wise, location-wise. Your ancestors and your values, as we see from Grizzly Gramps and his obsession with Bear Country history, is what's most important. That's what we do as people. We do not have different species. We create our own divisions. So in a way, it's saying that, don't worry, they're just as flawed as we are. they create their own divisions among themselves. Let's see, pandas and polar bears. we already covered the Great Bear War a little bit. The bears had a civil war. We've talked about it. I'm all confused now. I talked about the fact that the grizzlies kind of represent the upper class and the bears kind of represent the working class. As Dr. Bear said, no matter who you are, no matter what your family name is, no matter what if you're panda, if you're polar, whatever, you're still a bear country bear. Which suggests that we've attempted to unify a once divided nation, world, into a unified identity. One that says we walk on two legs, we wear pants, we have jobs, we talk. We're bear country. Like, the world is bear country at this point. I say bear world, but for all intents and purposes, the world is bear country. There's still tension. There's still aristocracy. There's still clan rivalry. The grizzlies live on in their social dynamics, in the representation of other bears, in the way they treat other bears, and the way they treat the bears. So the bear war is sort of this ongoing metaphor for how bear country is, which brings us to what I said at the top of the book, which was, put a pin in the fact that there is a loop. Because we began in North America with the grizzly bear, our close cousin. We ended in North America with the black bear, our neighbor. And in between, we hit the Arctic, we hit Asia, India, China, Southeast Asia, South America, got back to North America. That's the evolution of the bear world. That's the evolution of bear world right there. That loop. Because if you have bear migration and evolutionary dispersal, it roughly follows the path that brown bears took across Eurasia into North America over the land bridge, Bering land bridge, right? You diversify, you split into species, the grizzly and the Kodiak, the black bear, all the other bears. And then, instead of treating that like a line, like, because as we know, evolution isn't a straight line; it's a web. But this folds back on itself, like the universe itself, not a straight line, not a huge ball. It's this curved, flat surface. It's flat, plain, curved, in on itself, just like the Berenstain Bears. Because your identity is not dependent on your biology. It loops back through your culture, your family, your language, your identity, your history, and a million stories. A million billion Berenstain Bear stories that all add up, contradict each other, flow, flit, fly all over the place. Being the world of the Berenstain Bears, being the history of the Berenstain Bears, being the biology of the Berenstain Bears. The bear family doesn't descend from just one species of bear. They descend from all of them. They are all these bears, spiritually, narratively, I don't know about genetically. So they have their problems. They have their wars. They have their divisions. They have hierarchies, but they're not defined by that. They're not defined by their blood. They're not defined by their genetics. It's by their cultures, their shared cultures, their languages, their shared languages, their values, their shared values, and their stories. But also their different cultures, their different languages, their different values, and their different stories. Just like us. That's what brings them together. That's the closing the loop. We're closing the loop there by coming back around to North America in the very end, or North America, or whatever you want to call it. You have to acknowledge the arc of your history, all of your history, your origins, where you diverge, where your conflicts are, and then you just get back into the next circle. You make up, you start understanding each other, and the process begins. It never ends. It's just this loop that goes around. We're constantly learning. We're constantly meeting new people. We're constantly learning more about ourselves and about our history, and that's what makes us human. That's what makes us people. That's what makes us kind. That's what Dr. Bear says. Hold on. Dr. Bear says, we are bear country bears. We walk on two legs. we wear clothes, and we talk. And that is performative identity. That is performative culture. But it's not biology. It's their story. It's the story of the Berenstain Bears. And in closing, ultimately, here come the bears. Ultimately, the reason I'm so excited about this book is because it allowed me to get back to what we always talk about, which is that it's a global community. The Berenstain Bears are all about global community, about saying, look, we are all from the same place. We are all related to each other. We are each other's neighbors. We are each other's cousins. And the only way to get through this is to remember how we treated our new neighbors, to remember that we are all deep down neighbors. Sometimes we are the panda family. Sometimes we are the distant cousins. Sometimes we're Big Paw, the outsider. Sometimes we are the Bog brothers who moved in next door and used to be drug dealers, but are trying to get their lives back together. And our humanity, our community is based on a universal kindness, a universal approach to each other that is understanding, love, compassion, and to one degree or another, a benefit of the doubt. Like just saying, like, look, I'm going to approach you as if this world is 75% good intention, 25% bad, as opposed to 75% bad intention, 25% good. I'm just going to operate on that level. And if everyone operated on that level, we could get closer to what the Berenstains wanted, like proposed, which is a not perfect, peaceful community, but a community where everyone has the same opportunities, the same chances, and the same sense of belonging as everyone else. That's bear country. That's bear world. Where come the bears? Here come the bears. This was 2025's The Berenstain Bears, Here Come the Bears. More rambling, more I don't know what from me. Thank you so much for joining me. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for being a part of this big stupid thing that I do called Deep in Bear Country. A Berenstain Bearcast. I've got more new books coming up. I've got more flashbacks coming up. I'm going to be doing some reactions to Berenstain Bears episodes, so join me for that. And I will see you all next time. Oh, yeah, like and subscribe if you want to. Please do. Please want to. And I will see you all next time deep in Bear Country.